How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. We are joined, as we are every week, by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare up at WrestlingObserver.com. I am here in the home of Kona Crush, Kona, Hawaii, here for the final day, actually, of my honeymoon before heading back to sunny Seattle. It's actually raining there, so hardly excited for that, but gonna enjoy this time while I can. We've got some pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news to talk about today, including moments after the show goes off the air. We've got the WWE Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, the final stop on the road to WrestleMania, at least in terms of pay-per-views. We've obviously got 5 or 6 weeks of Raw left. We'll talk about that here on this program, but we're going to give you all of the matches on the show. We'll give you a preview. We'll talk about who we think is going to win all of the main matches. Please don't put any money on this as usual. And we'll get into that, talk about how that leads into WrestleMania as well. And we've also got some talk about UFC on Fuel 7. UFC on Fuel 7 took place last night. Henan Barrow retaining the 135-pound title in the main event over Michael McDonald. And next stop appears to be Dominic Cruz. If Cruz is able to, I guess, recover from a number of injuries, most notably serious ACL surgery, and he's hoping to be back in action at some point to unify those two titles. We'll talk to you about all the matches on that show. And just want to mention that if you did not get a chance to see UFC on Fuel 7, because, for example, you don't have Fuel Television, if you have Comcast Xfinity, they are going to be adding Fuel. So very shortly, you will be able to see these UFC on Fuel programs as well. If not, I'm sure you've probably checked out some clips on the internet, as I have. So we'll have Mike run down the results of that show very quickly, and then we shall get into the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view and the road to WrestleMania. So obviously a lot of stuff to get into on the program today. And as always, we're going to kick it off after the first break. So stick around. Back in just a moment, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, channel 794 and 94, XM Radio, channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We're going to kick off the show today with a quick recap of last night's UFC Fuel 7 show. And then after that, we're going to get into the WWE Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, which is taking place moments after the show goes off the air. Dave Meltzer will be doing live running play-by-play of the event up on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. And later on tonight, Dave and I back with a brand new radio show only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. We'll run down the Elimination Chamber, talk all of the news, have a good time. So if you are a big fan of the show, sign up at WrestlingObserver.com and join the fun. But first off today, we're of course joined by Mike Sempervivi. And Mike, how are you doing?
I won't complain other than the weather, because as you sit out there in Hawaii, I sit at the beach on the East Coast in Delaware, where it's actually snowing right now.
It's snowing?
Snowing.
Oh, Mike. I'm sorry,
not
dude.
Not happy about this.
I'm sorry. I can't help you. It is beautiful here. It is 80 degrees, and at this point at least, well, actually the sun's already gone down. Not a cloud in the sky. But thank God for Hawaii. That's all I have to say. But if it makes you feel any better, I'm heading back to Seattle tomorrow, and it's rainy and cloudy and miserable. So life shall return to normal. But it was fun while it lasted. Was it a sunny day, or was it a day full of gray for those that watched UFC on Fuel 7? How was the show?
A day full of gray, possibly because it's England, and they're known for such a thing, too, when they were at Wembley Arena, where they drew 10,349 people, claiming a gate of $1.3 million. But you could say it was a little bit of a gray day because they broke a record. They had 9 decisions a record 9 decisions out of the, I don't know, 12 fights that they had on the show, which made it a very long show for people, and I only saw one fight on the undercard. So I didn't have to suffer through Facebook, and if you did watch the Facebook shows as well as the main show, which nothing was really wrong with that, but if you did that, it made it a 6-hour day. So it was a very long day of fighting, and not really an incredibly noteworthy show either. In the main event, just another guy out of Nova Anaya who is just completely a devastating force, Henan Barao, defeated Michael McDonald, who put on quite a game performance. He really, really did. Barao wasn't able to get in the leg kicks on him. He wasn't able to really dive in and take McDonald down. You know, he did a couple times, but McDonald was very gutsy, got back up again before Barao would drag him back down. And outside of a really nasty spinning wheel kick that caught McDonald right in the face, and then towards the end of the third round, there really wasn't too much action until action on the ground until the very, very end of the fight, where Barao actually got him in a rear naked choke and finished off McDonald, who was the second-rated fighter at featherweight by the UFC, and Barao is the UFC interim featherweight champion. The fight with Dominic Cruz, Dominic Cruz afterwards was talking about the fact that he could be back a little bit earlier than the 18 months that it looks like he is going to be out with an injury, and technically he is the champion, and it doesn't look like there will be any more fights for Barao either until Cruz is clear to come back and fight, either that or he gets re-injured or has got some sort of holdup, which is going to keep him out even longer. So that raises an interesting question as well, because you have an Uriah Faber fight coming up here at the on the undercard of the Ronda Rousey-Liz Carmouche fight against Ivan Menjivar, and it's been much maligned with Uriah Faber that he's gotten too many opportunities at championship bouts because of who he is, and that may be some of the case, but that's one of the deals when it comes to individual martial arts sports and combat sports. That type of thing is going to happen, but even for people that are supporters of Faber, if Dominic Cruz isn't able to come back, you can't put him in a fight with Barao again, even though it would probably be, again, another fun fight, but you have to put Eddie Vineland in there because he would be the logical next contender. And, again, is that a fight anybody really wants to see? Probably not. Barao didn't look perfect in this fight, but he looked very, very good.
You know, a couple of things on that here very quickly. First off, the show itself, I was following along with the results via text message, and seemed to me that the Fuel show actually went over 3 hours. Is that correct, or is my the time zone screwed me up completely?
No, I think it did. I mean, they had the pre-show started at 2:00. They started at 3:00, and yeah, I mean, if it was definitely 3:00, if not some change. So yeah, that would not be wrong at all to say.
That is a long show. The finish, by the way, of the Barao fight actually wasn't a rear naked. It was an arm triangle. And I remember this because I was watching the clips, and Barao's setup to get that arm triangle was a thing of beauty. He actually had McDonald's back, and he was setting up a rear naked. And McDonald was defending with an arm up. And Barao hooked around the head and arm and dropped to the side and choked him out. It was awesome. So that's a big win for Barao, obviously. And one other thing regarding Dominic Cruz, I was listening to him do an interview, and he was talking about Barao, and he essentially was giving his game plan. Not exactly. I mean, he basically did give his game plan, but you never really give your game plan. But what he said was, Barao is not going to know what to do with me. I am going to go up. I'm going to go down. I'm going to change angles. I'm going to wrestle the guy. You know, he's talking about doing a Dominic Cruz fight, which is a lot of movement, a lot of unorthodox movement, a lot of quick movement. And I just listened to it and I thought, man, I hope you're right, because you have the absolute worst style to come back from an ACL injury to. It's not like a guy that he's got a plodding, methodical style, I hate to say this about Randy being plodding and methodical, but he's a Greco-Roman, a lot of clinching, a lot of just grinding, and when you're a guy who relies on angles and quick movement and up and down and speed, and you had a severe knee injury that's putting you on the shelf for 18 months, I mean, I don't know. When it comes time to pick a winner for Dominic Cruz versus Henan Barao, I don't know. I mean, obviously, it's not a good idea to put money on the challenger when the champion has been dominant for so long. But after that kind of layoff and the kind of style that Cruz brings to the cage, I probably would put my money on Barao.
I think Barao would really beat the hell out of him. I think that's what's going to happen. And again, you got to make sure that Cruz is actually able to come back. You know, he said after the fight, you know, he's not going to hurt it again this time. So I guess you should have said that 2 times ago, but before you heard it. So, at least that would be a fight people want to see, where you're going to run into this problem with Barao as you have in other divisions, where, you know, you run out of guys for somebody to fight. That was really, there were a couple of fights on the card. Dustin Poirier and Cub Swanson, where Swanson won a unanimous decision. A good fight. Swanson, I thought, took all 3 rounds. He won on one judge's scorecard. Somebody gave one to Poirier, but I thought this was the most fun fight of the night, even though it didn't win fight of the night. That actually happened on the undercard, where Tom Kong Watson knocked out Stanislav Nedikov, who had Watson on the ropes a couple times in the fight, but it was just one of those things that you can actually call a pure slobber knocker, where they just beat the tar out of each other. It was a very fun fight that the crowd absolutely went nuts for, and ended up finishing him in the second round at 4:42. So, again, a really not a show you feel bad about missing, but not a bad show for people to have fuel. I guess really just as long as you didn't have a chance to watch the undercard.
All right, everybody, we are going to head to a break. When we come back, the WWE Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here for the next 40 minutes talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the Internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can also join us TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. If you search Sports Byline USA on the TuneIn Radio app, you can listen to all of the great Sports Byline programming, including this show every Sunday. And of course, for more, WrestlingObserver.com is the place to go. Dave Meltzer is doing live running play-by-play of the Elimination Chamber moments after we go off the air. And later on tonight, myself and Dave, brand new radio show only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. You can check it out, all the results of Elimination Chamber, and we'll talk a preview of WrestleMania now that we will know for sure, hopefully, some of the main events. Which leads us, Mike, to our Elimination Chamber preview show here on Wrestling Observer Live. And looking up and down the card here, looks like it's going to be a interesting show. We've got a couple of big matches, a couple of matches that you could see on Raw or SmackDown, and a couple of matches that, you could probably skip, quite frankly. But let's get into it. The pre-show match, which is going to be airing at about a quarter till 5 Pacific, quarter late Eastern. It's going to be on YouTube. Brodus Clay and Tensai are going to be teaming up to face, believe it or not, the reunited Team Rhodes Scholars. They broke up, did no favors to either guy. Both guys just getting beaten unmercifully on television. Now they are back together, at least for the night, as a team. And my guess is this will be a way to kick off the show with a on a happy note. Give the two big dancing fat guys a win, and I predict Clay and Tensai going over.
I would believe that as well, although I do want to ask you, would you buy a Cody Rhodes mustache and comb combo t-shirt like he rocked on Monday night?
No, I would not.
Do you think there's any way that Fandango comes out and we actually get Fandango, Brodus Clay, and Tensai as a new wave Disco Inferno, Alex Wright, Tokyo Magnum team?
I hadn't thought of that, but I'm expecting Fandango to be a heel, so I would guess no. Who's winning?
Brodus Clay and Tensai. And you know what? I take that back. You know who's winning? Me, because Naomi and Cameron are going to come out there. And by the way, after this past week on Monday and the main event match that they had, please, someone push Naomi, please.
Maybe they could add, since Tensai, of course, is doing this gimmick, who is the lovely Japanese girl that does commentary on the New Japan I pay-per-views?
Oh, Keiko, I have to go back and double check her name.
But anyway, how about he gets her and a buddy to come out and dance with him?
I'd be completely fine with that. I think that I would be completely fine with that. As a pre-show to the Elimination Chamber, that's what I'm looking for.
I got a lot of ideas. We've got Antonio Cesaro against The Miz for the U.S. title. And a scoop here for everybody. Apparently, at least as of yesterday, they have decided this gimmick of Miz being the next Ric Flair is not working. So it appears that that's over, and Ric Flair hasn't even been around anyway. But
Thank you, Jesus.
It did nobody any favors. Let's be honest here. I think that you may as well actually have had him and Damian Sandow and Cody Rhodes have been a like some sort of three-man team that's never actually teaming up. They just all, it just no favors done for anybody involved all the time. But I think that I really don't want to see the title change, but the guys have been feuding for a long time, and part of me thinks, well, they're probably going to pull the trigger and put the U.S. title on The Miz. I hope that's not the case. Antonio Cesaro has been great in his role. No American can beat him, even though Americans are beating him right and left and not getting title shots, but that's beside the point. I unfortunately am predicting a title change, but I don't want to see it.
I'd like to see Cesaro and Jericho possibly even at WrestleMania. That would be nice because, I mean, he was born in America, even though he's a Canadian. I don't know how something like that could work, but it could work. And I'd get to see Cesaro and Jericho. I hope Cesaro actually goes over in this match. He needs the title as well as the gimmick. Miz doesn't need it. And really, even if this wanted to lead in longer into WrestleMania, I guess you could do that too with the Miz winning. I'm not sure if that would go over, but I'd like to not see it keep happening, but I have a feeling that it probably will. So I'll actually say Cesaro goes over.
Are you excited, Mike, for
yes.
Caitlyn versus Tamina Snuka?
Yes.
Are you really?
Yes.
In what way?
I'm a fan of thighs. We've talked about this with Layla, and we've talked about this with other women, Tiffany and whatnot. And when it comes to Caitlyn, we've got thighs. Now, they're a little more muscular thighs than I'm looking for, but why not? Her and Tamina Snuka, it will probably not go that long. It will only be a little bit. This will be a reminder as I watch this match that Sara Del Rey sits somewhere in Florida training other women like Summer Rae, who is a gorgeous woman. But when she gets brought up to the roster, she will be the equivalent of their new Kelly Kelly. They do have some other people down there like that girl Paige. But she, if they're going to introduce somebody, it will probably not happen until after WrestleMania. I don't see why, for a stopgap measure for a few months, why they don't bring Sara Del Rey up to the roster and then have Summer Rae and Paige on house shows that are not, you know, being aired on TV and let them kind of come along a little bit. Because if they're going to continue to do anything with divas at all, in a wrestling form, they need to get somebody up there that can do something. Because Alicia Fox, she tries so hard, but she is so painful to watch. She's like Gumby, and when she falls out of the ring, it's kind of ridiculous. And I know they're going to have some sort of wackiness take place at WrestleMania as well. But for God's sake, please bring Sarah Del Rey up, just even if it's for a stopgap move for a minute.
That was a very passionate argument you just made right there. I don't see her coming up anytime soon. I suppose it's possible. But there will be thighs aplenty in this match, Mike. Just so you know. We've got The Shield, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, and Seth Rollins. They're going to be facing The Ryback, John Cena, and Sheamus in a six-man tag. And if you had to make a prediction here, I've got my own idea. What would you do in this particular match?
The Shield got to me. The Shield's got to win. I would go after Sheamus. I guess it depends on where this thing is positioned, because if it for some reason is positioned after the Elimination Chamber and as a buffer with maybe that and that women's match that takes place before The Rock and CM Punk, I think you can have Orton come out and do something and screw with Sheamus, let him be the one that causes the loss. So Ryback doesn't have to lose. Obviously, John Cena doesn't lose. And I would actually go that direction because I'd like to see Orton and Sheamus at WrestleMania. I'd like to see Orton in a situation where he's got his edge and his attitude back because they've been beating the hell out of him. He's obviously going to go heel. I think him, you know, with that faction would actually be a really good idea, even if it's just one of those things where, you know, they're just loosely affiliated.
Yeah, I had the idea of doing something with Orton where, I know that people would be appalled at the idea. They don't want to see Orton as leader of the Shield. But I think that you could. I thought that, obviously, it didn't work out so well for Ted DiBiase. But I thought that, I thought there was something there. And it didn't work out probably the way that everybody intended. In fact, I know it didn't because they were trying to make a star. Big stars out of Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase, and it didn't really work out. But I thought that Orton,
they also caused that.
What was that?
They really also caused that too, because there was that little scene where, remember, DiBiase smacked the hell out of Orton, and for that minute there, it looked like they could actually have something with him, and then they completely crapped on, did the bad Maurice thing, and then it ended up being the DiBiase posse, which I'm not sure if they're still hanging out. Maybe they can hang out with Zack Ryder.
Yeah, I think that you could do something with Orton. My gut tells me they're not going to do it. We're just going to, like, have a finish. Nothing's going to happen. But I really do think that Orton being responsible for costing Sheamus the match, him aligning himself with the Shield, you give them even more main event credibility, you set up Orton versus Sheamus, you don't beat the Shield. I think it just serves everybody well. And I think that I think if you beat the Shield at WrestleMania, fine. It's the biggest show of the year. The heels lose. Who cares? They'll survive it. I don't think now is the time to beat them. I think that they should win. I don't think there's any chance they're beating John Cena. They absolutely should not beat Ryback again. That leaves only Sheamus. And so I think they either beat him or they do the Randy Orton thing where Randy Orton costs Sheamus a match. The reason, by the way, everybody, that we keep mentioning Randy Orton is because the idea for a long time had been Randy Orton and Sheamus at WrestleMania. And they've moved away from that. I don't know if they've dropped it. I don't know what's going on. But I know that was an idea, and so that's kind of why his name keeps coming up here. But Orton is in the Elimination Chamber, so I guess, as you noted, kind of really depends on where these matches are placed on the show. I do think Sheamus should drop the fall. I don't think he should beat the Shield. I guess we'll find out what happens. The Chamber match, we'll probably have to talk about this in depth when we come back from the break, but very quickly, the participants, Jack Swagger, Chris Jericho, Daniel Bryan, Kane, Mark Henry, and Randy Orton. For the first year in a long time, there's only one chamber match, not two, and no titles on the line. The winner of this match is going to become the number one contender for the World Heavyweight title at WrestleMania. And so one of those guys that I just mentioned is getting the championship match. Who's it going to be? We'll do our predictions when we come back from the break. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for the next 20 minutes talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 794 and 94, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can check us out, the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone. Just check it out in the App Store. Again, on your iPhone, your Android, whatever phone you've got, check out the TuneIn Radio app. Search Sports Byline USA. You can listen to all of the great Sports Byline programming in addition to this show. We also have archives available on the TuneIn Radio app and at WrestlingObserver.com. And, of course, if you sign up at WrestlingObserver.com, daily radio shows. Mike Sempervivi, my broadcast partner here on the show, has done shows with Dave Meltzer the last two nights in a row. One show went nearly 2 hours. One show went an hour. And I'm going to be back on with Dave tonight with another show, as well as tomorrow after Raw. And this is just your average weekend. We have shows every single day, sometimes as many as 5 shows in a single day. It is $10.99 a month to sign up. And for that price, not only do you get all the new shows, but every show that we have ever done, dating back to 2005, we're nearly 10 years in. Every show is available in our archives. You can listen to shows from 2006, 2007, 2008, any of the big stories in wrestling we've covered on the website, and all available at the touch of a button. They're downloaded to your iTunes automatically. You can podcast the show. It's quite the deal. So check it out, $10.99. If you like Wrestling Observer Live, I guarantee that you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. So check that out. As noted, Dave's doing live running play-by-play of the Elimination Chamber moments after we go off the air. And Mike, we were talking about the actual chamber match. As I noted before the break, for the first time in many years, not two Elimination Chamber matches on the show, only one. No title on the line in the chamber. It is Swagger, Jericho, Daniel Bryan, Kane, Mark Henry, and Randy Orton. Winner gets the championship match for the world title at WrestleMania. Mike, who is going to win?
I'm going with one of three things coming out of this. Believe it or not, Jack Swagger could be one of them. You see Swagger actually winning this. And then, you know, because I don't know how long you're going to be able to go with the Zeb Coulter thing, the way they're doing it with the playing a race angle and things like that. And there's going to be some places, maybe even in the Southwest, like Arizona or somewhere in the Southeast, that Swagger actually gets a little bit of applause for this. It won't be, you know, that much or anything like that, but where there'll be no pushback to that whatsoever, and where they will absolutely hate him is in New York City, and they will love Alberto Del Rio up there, as goofy as his babyface promos tend to be. I think that would be over absolutely huge. Now, what would I do after that? Del Rio gets the win. That's when Dolph Ziggler cashes in the briefcase. Now, you have to have something that leads up to him in WrestleMania, but you could do something like that. I think another thing you could do is, with Randy Orton losing so much, you could have the idea of something to push him over the edge. And the thing that would push him over the edge, Randy Orton comes out, wins the Elimination Chamber. Then either at, you know, that night, I don't know if Dolph could cash in the Money in the Bank actually on somebody else who's the number one contender, but at least he could either put himself into the mix against him on Raw or something like that, where they compete for it, and Ziggler ends up getting the win and announces he's going to cash himself in. So I think there's two scenarios that you could do right there, because Kane and Daniel Bryan, I don't think it's going to happen. I guess you could have Mark Henry do it and have Henry beat Del Rio, and maybe that sets up Ziggler winning it and cashing in Money in the Bank. I think either way, though, if Ziggler is the one who cashes it in, he's definitely going to face Del Rio again at WrestleMania just to keep Del Rio strong, because it would be a very, very short reign.
Yeah, I think obviously with the debut of Dutch Mantel as Zeb Coulter on Raw, he, of course, stealing RJ Brewer's gimmick from Lucha Libre USA just a couple of weeks after Nightline did a show about RJ Brewer, of all people. Zeb Coulter debuted, and I think, obviously, I mean, it's obviously they're going to be going with Swagger and Del Rio. The question is, do you do it immediately? I mean, they just introduced the character this past Monday. Do you give Swagger the win and bam, you're already doing this feud? Or do you let the character simmer for a while, see how it goes, gauge the reaction of people, and then if it's going all right, you pull the trigger. I don't know. I would guess it's going to be a heel. So that would be Swagger or Mark Henry. I could see Mark Henry and Alberto Del Rio at WrestleMania to give Alberto Del Rio a big win over a giant. Randy Orton. I don't know. Maybe Randy Orton can do the gimmick. You know, Randy Orton wins the chamber, and then you do a heel turn, leading to Orton and Alberto at WrestleMania. I don't really know. Honest to God, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. WrestleMania is all about The Rock and John Cena, and everything else on the show is just everything else on the show. The world title match never means anything at WrestleMania. You could, honest to God, have Daniel Bryan win and go Daniel Bryan, Alberto Del Rio. It doesn't matter. But if you want to do something that plays into storylines, I guess your pick would be Jack Swagger. We've also got Alberto Del Rio defending the title on the show against The Big Show. I suppose we shouldn't get ahead of ourselves. I presume that Alberto is retaining, but you never know. Big Show could win, and I don't know. Big Show against Jericho. Big Show against Orton as a babyface. There's different ways you can go. I expect Alberto Del Rio to retain. It's a very TNA-style booking. They had a last-man-standing match, which Alberto Del Rio won to get the title. They followed it up with another last-man-standing match. Same exact stipulation. And the feud has now built to a wrestling match with no stipulations. So, yeah. I predict Alberto Del Rio wins and retains.
Yeah, I do as well. And it's just too bad that the show can't do a little bit more wrestling-wise or anything like that, because his performances, even in stupid situations like in the hotel, his ability to play the camera, his ability to know what to do, the promos where he's just getting pissed off in the middle of the ring and storming off, he has done just an awesome, awesome job. And he's also, again, he would be one of those guys, a Jericho Show, Kane Bryan match, because if you're just going to have a World Tag Team title match, and who knows what's going on with Mysterio and Sin Cara, the primetime players, or anybody else, I think, you know, those four playing off each other in the lead up to WrestleMania could be absolutely great.
And that leads us to the main event. The Rock is defending the WWE title against CM Punk in a rematch. And where do they go? Do we have Rock retain the title, which is the most obvious scenario to lead to the match with John Cena at WrestleMania? Do you do some sort of wackiness involving CM Punk where somehow he gets the title and you end up doing a three-way at WrestleMania? What do you do here, Mike?
You know, that's not a bad idea. If The Undertaker is not there, the three of those guys together, I mean, they're all such pros, no matter, you know, what you think about any of them or how much you think their styles would clash. That would be awesome. And they did do one in New York with Triple H, Benoit, and Michaels, where Benoit ended up coming out with the title. To do something like that there, that's absolutely something that could work. I'm still a proponent of just if you – I'm not sure what you would then do with CM Punk. I mean, there's a lot of different options you could do with him at WrestleMania, but they just wouldn't be all that impactful. And I think he needs to be rewarded with something very impactful at WrestleMania, and I think the idea of a three-way would not be that bad of a deal. I know traditionally that it's better off if you just do a one-on-one match, and if they do The Rock and Cena – I mean, no one can complain about that. That's absolutely what they should be doing. But it does leave an open hole when you have Triple H and Brock Lesnar going at it, and then with the rest of the stuff you have, and heel champions and Cesaro and Barrett, so you can't use them with Punk. I mean, where do you get the most out of Punk and being able to maximize him? Obviously, you don't need him to sell WrestleMania, but I think on a pinnacle show like that, you want to showcase how good he is, and to have a three-way match, to go ahead and do it, I mean, it would be better than Devitt and Loki and Kota Ibushi, I think, in New Japan. I think that would actually be an awesome, outstanding way to end WrestleMania.
What about this idea? You had Brock Lesnar come back, and he gave Vince McMahon the F5. Vince got hip surgery. For real, by the way. Although he needed hip surgery before that angle. That angle was done as a way to explain him getting hip surgery. But you had that happen, and now as of last week's Raw, Paul Heyman added the stipulation that Vince agreed to, that if The Rock gets counted out or disqualified, then Punk gets the title. So, with all that said, I think that the storyline, the way it's going, is that Vince got hurt by Brock, and so Triple H is going to come back to take out Brock, Vince's son-in-law. Meanwhile, Vince is going to bring in The Undertaker to get rid of Paul Heyman and CM Punk. Paul Heyman had to agree to do a favor for Vince, or he owes Vince, because Vince okayed his stipulation. I think that ultimately that's going to be that if, let's say they do Undertaker and Punk at WrestleMania, if Undertaker wins, then he or Vince McMahon, whoever, gets 5 minutes in the ring to destroy Paul Heyman. I suspect it'll be something like that, but who knows? What if you did a deal where Rock and Punk are wrestling, the referee takes a bump, the lights go out, The Undertaker appears, and tombstones CM Punk. The referee wakes up, Rock makes a cover, and pins CM Punk. The next night on Raw, obviously Paul Heyman flips out that, my God, The Undertaker interfered, he attacked my man. If the referee would have been awake, CM Punk would be the champion right now. He should be the champion right now. This is all blah, 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 blah. And they decide that in order to figure this out, Punk is going to get a rematch for the title on Raw next week. You build it up like crazy. You pop a huge rating on Raw with a Rock, live Rock wrestling match on Raw. Rock beats Punk, and then Cena comes out, and you do a big giant stare down on Monday Night Raw after this match. It's going to do a gigantic number, and that's your setup for WrestleMania. What about that idea?
Not bad. I'll quickly get this one in. How about, because of the way it's been played up, Brock Lesnar comes out there and nails CM Punk, The Rock gets disqualified, or does something like that where, you know, it goes that way, because if Rock gets DQ'd, he loses the title. You know, it'll explain the stare down that, you know, Punk had with Heyman, that he knew he was up to something, just to find out they're all really in cahoots. And, you know, who else is going to be the one that fights back as they're all beating on Rock on Monday night? Boom, The Undertaker comes back. But, of course, that would have to mean that The Undertaker comes back. And then you could do something like that where Punk has the title. He loses it to Raw, or loses it to Rock on a live Raw, like something like you would have. And then that leads into WrestleMania with Cena and Rock still, and The Undertaker and Punk.
I don't know what we're going to see tonight. That's right. I don't know what we're going to see tonight, but the show is getting ready to kick off. So in about 4 hours, we are going to know the top matches, presumably for WrestleMania. There may be some monkey wrenches thrown in, but I know that at the Royal Rumble, they did everything exactly as you would have expected. So there is a decent chance tonight that The Rock will just beat CM Punk and set up the match with John Cena, and everything will go exactly as everybody has predicted. No monkey wrenches whatsoever. We shall see. Back in just a moment with the apparent location of next year's WrestleMania. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here with the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94 and 794 XM Radio Channel 208. Streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. It is expected to be announced tomorrow at noon Eastern that WrestleMania is coming to New Orleans next year. And it has been rumored for some time the show would take place at the Superdome. It appears to be a done deal. I guess we will find out more tomorrow, but it's looking to be New Orleans, looking to be the Superdome. Hopefully they don't lose power. And Mike, a little birdie has told me that you are thinking of trying to make it out to next year's WrestleMania. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm thinking about raiding my stepbrother Rodney Rogers' place and going down there and wrecking shop in New Orleans, and was down there for the UFC when they were down. Absolutely love that place and cannot wait to make it back down there. And my brother and I were plotting yesterday. I told him about it. I told him the announcement's probably coming tomorrow. And yeah, I have a feeling I will finally make it to my first WrestleMania, and no better place to do it than in New Orleans, because it's full of debauchery, it's full of fun, it's full of great food, it's full of great music. I don't know what else anyone could possibly ask for, except for there to be a lot of wrestling and a lot of Mid-South probably honor going on, with them dropping DVDs and probably some Hall of Fame things, maybe even Danny Hodge. And if that's the case, if Hodge gets inducted into the Hall of Fame, which is a possibility that he could, that would be some probably as good as it could possibly get for me. So I am really looking forward to WrestleMania next year already.
And a lot of thighs down there in New Orleans, Mike.
Yes, there's a lot of, more than thighs, a lot of boobs in New Orleans walking down Bourbon Street. Let me tell you something, Bourbon Street, that it rules.
All right, everybody. Well, on that note, we are out of here. I want to thank y'all for listening. Check out WrestlingObserver.com for the live running play-by-play of the pay-per-view. And later on tonight, myself and Dave Meltzer, thanks as always from lovely Kona. Back home tomorrow and back next week with more. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.